നന്ദാരാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതെ തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസ്തുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരി പ്രിയേ വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണീം ഭഗവതീം അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനീം അംബ ത്വാമനുസന്ധദാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണീം. നമോസ്തുതേ വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായതവൽപനേത്രായേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണം പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപം പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ തോത്രവേത്രൈകബാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗോവിന്ദായ നമോ നമഃ. സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹൽ വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗൽഗുരും. ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതട ജയദ്രഥജല ഗാന്ധാര നീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതി കൃപേണ വഹനി കർണേന വേലാകുലാം അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണമകരോൽ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനി സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈരണ നദി കൈവർത്തക കേശവാം പരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമമലം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനക കേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധന ബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനഷൽപതൈരഹരഃ പേബീയമാനം മുദ ഊയാശാരദ പങ്കജം കരിമലപ്രധ്വംസിനശ്രേയസേ. മോഹം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലങ്കയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം. യബ്രഹ്മ വരുണേന്ദ്രരുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈസ്തവൈർവേദൈർ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സാമഗാഃ. ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിതദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദനാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ ലാസ്റ്റ് സാറ്റർഡേ വി വർ ഗോയിങ് ത്രൂ ദി ഫോർത്ത് ചാപ്റ്റർ ഓഫ് ഭഗവത്ഗീത. ഫോർ ചാപ്റ്റർ ഇസ് കോൾഡ് ജ്ഞാനകർമ്മ സന്യാസയോഗം. ജ്ഞാനം കർമ്മം സന്യാസം, ദി ത്രീ വേർഡ്സ് ദേ ജ്ഞാനം അർജുന ആഫ്റ്റർ ഹിയറിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് കർമ്മയോഗം. അർജുന ആഫ്റ്റർ ഹിയറിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് കർമ്മയോഗം ആസ്ക് കൃഷ്ണ ദിസ് ക്വസ്റ്റ്യൻ ദാറ്റ് ഇഫ് കർമ്മയോഗം ഇനീഷ്യലി കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്ക് ടു അർജുന ദാറ്റ് ജ്ഞാനയോഗം ഈസ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ്, ജ്ഞാനം ഈസ് ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ്. ലൈറ്റർ ഓൺ കൃഷ്ണ ടോൾഡ് അർജുന that karma is also important. At that time Arjuna was confused and he said to Krishna that you have mentioned to me about the importance of jnanam first and then later on about the karma, which one should I follow? This question came up in Arjuna's mind. It was in response to that Krishna said that jnanam and karma is not the goal, Krishna is the goal, whereas jnanam and karma are only the processes by which one can reach Krishna. So that is what is discussed in this fourth chapter. That is why it is called Jnana Karma Sanyasa Yoga. That Jnanam and Karmam is not the ultimate goal. Krishna is the goal. So in order to bring that point, Krishna told about the history of the solar dynasty, where he mentioned about the Vaivaswan and so onwards, the other kings who came in the solar dynasty, from Vaivaswan, Manu, Ikshvaku and so on and so forth. So we went on with that, and at the end Krishna also explained to Krishna also explained to Arjuna that this yoga system, I have spoken about this, Evayam Mayadedhya, Yoga Prokta Puradhanam. It is so old, it is not something new in this world. This is what is interesting. Anything what Krishna says is always old, nothing is new. Anything what Krishna says is always old, it is nothing new. You will find throughout Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, whatever Krishna has spoken is based on the what the sages have spoken. That is also another interesting thing. Krishna never contradicts with the sages. Sages follow Krishna very strictly in all aspects, especially with the Vedic knowledge, what Krishna has disseminated in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Vedas. So, because the relationship with the tradition is so strong, that you will never find anywhere, Krishna always stressing this point, Yoga Prokta Puradhana, it is the oldest knowledge that I have delivered to this world. Bhaktosime Sakhajeri Rahasyam Hedal Tamam, that you are my devotee, and because of that, and you are my friend as well, I will speak to you about the confidentiality of this yoga system. You may wonder, as I mentioned before, why it is so confidential. The reason for that is that the yoga system in the Bhagavad Gita is confidential until one understands the intricacies of the different yoga systems and the way Krishna has explained it. You can see when Krishna explained this Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna, even Arjuna was confused. If Arjuna could be confused with Krishna, what is our possibility of understanding Bhagavad Gita properly? Even that is such a difficult instructions from Krishna. Throughout the transcendental instructions which Krishna has offered to Arjuna as well as Uddhava, you will find at every step Arjuna as well as Uddhava were completely bewildered by the various pros and cons of the different yoga processes. In order to get it right, in order to understand it properly, it is necessary that we have to constantly pray to Krishna to give the proper understanding. As I mentioned before, you have to say to Krishna that whatever you have intended Arjuna or Uddhava to understand at the time when you spoke Bhagavad Gita as well as Ekadasha Skandam, that knowledge is impossible for ordinary people to understand unless Krishna wants us to understand, and to what extent we should understand, that is also in Krishna's hands. We always have the difficulty that because of the human species is such a species that it has got this thing called intelligence. And as soon as it has a little intelligence, it wants to control. But unfortunately, the transcendental knowledge is beyond our mundane understanding of the mundane knowledge. And instead of speculating, the process always in the Vedic tradition has been to accept the authority of the great acharyas in the tradition which comes from Krishna himself. So, because these traditions have developed because of this reason only. Otherwise, if the Vedic literature was so freely accessible to the human society, just like we study the other mundane literature, this would not have been necessary. But because of the difficulty in understanding the Vedic literature, Krishna himself says that Parokshavado Vedoyam Balanam Anushasanam. Everything is Paroksham, what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Paroksham means it is hidden. Most of the knowledge is sometimes difficult to understand it unless it is being explained by the Supreme Lord himself. So by Krishna's mercy, Arjuna understood. By Krishna's mercy, Uddhava also understood. This is what we are discussing. That is why Krishna is saying here, Rahasyam Hedaduttamam, that Bhaktosime Sakha Chedi Rahasyam Hedaduttamam. It is Rahasyam. It is confidential and difficult to understand. So after going through all these chapters, we come to the verse 10. That's where we stopped last time, where we mentioned that Krishna said that yeya dhamam prabadyande తాంస్తథైవ భజామ్యహం మమ వర్మాను వర్తందే మనుష్యా పార్థ సర్వశాం. సో ఏయ ధామాం ప్రబద్ధ్యందే తాంస్తథైవ భజామ్యహం. కృష్ణ సేస్ దట్ అకార్డింగ్ టు వన్స్ హౌ హీ అప్రోచెస్ మీ, దట్ ఈస్ విచ్ ఎవర్ ఫార్మ్ ఎ డివోటీ ఎక్సెప్ట్స్ కృష్ణస్ ఫార్మ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ ది మెనీ మెనీ ఇన్కార్నేషన్స్, ఇఫ్ వన్ ఎక్సెప్ట్స్ ఎ పర్టికులర్ ఫార్మ్ అండ్ సరెండర్స్ టు మీ, ఐ ఆఫర్ హిమ్ ది సేమ్ రెస్పాన్స్. ఇన్ ద సేమ్ వే ఐ రెస్పాండ్ టు హిమ్. దట్ ఇస్ వాట్ కృష్ణ సేస్, ఏ యథా మాం ప్రబద్ధ్యందే తాంస్ తథైవ భజామ్యహం. Many devotees approach Krishna in the form of Ramachandra. To them, the Krishna appears to them in the form of Ramachandra. So depending on the degree of surrender and the way the devotee has approached Krishna, in the same way, Krishna also responds to the devotees. Yayadhamam prabhadyande tam stathaiva vajamyaham. The Krishna is so merciful and kind to the devotee. What is important as far as Krishna is concerned, that a devotee surrenders to one of the forms of Krishna, even if he does not accept, even at least he should accept the different incarnations of Krishna and surrender unto him. At different instances in the history, if you look back, you will find there were devotees at different times depending on the particular incarnations. Like when Narasimhamurti came, Prahlad Maharaj was his pure devotee. Similarly, Sridharacharya Swamiji also, who is the greatest commentator on Srimad Bhagavatam, he was also a devotee of Narasimhamurti. So, like this, many, many devotees of Lord Ramachandra, devotees of Vamanamurti, all have appeared in this world. So, through these words, Krishna is saying that according to how they approach me, in the same way, I respond to them as well. But, mama vartma anu vartande manushya partha sarvasham, that one interesting thing is, in all these appearances, Krishna shows us how to approach him. You see, normally for human species, it is even difficult for us to understand everything about this world itself, even this material world. We find it very hard to understand the material world. Even when we do not understand the material world, what chance have we got to understand about the spiritual world? This is what implicated in that. It implies in that, mama varma anu vartande manushya partha sarvasham, then what Krishna does is, at different times Krishna comes himself in different incarnations. And in that particular incarnation, Krishna shows us how to approach him. Just like in the recent times, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Krishna also taught us what is the process to approach Krishna. Isn't it? Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. So Krishna, at this particular age, Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not only that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us the process of approaching Krishna in this age through the chanting of holy name. So, mama vartma anu vartande manushya partha sarvashaham, that everyone follows me, Krishna says. You have no choice in this. If you start speculating, you won't get there. This is what Krishna's point, because it's a very valid point here. If you try to understand even the material world, you can't understand completely, can you? Who understands the material creation? Even the scientists and other big philosophers and so on and so forth, they have been experimenting in their research laboratories and so many places, try to understand the material world. Even the material world, they don't realize, they haven't got a grip of it. They have no idea what goes on in the material world. They are still confused, and every time something happens, they are baffled also about it. But that is the nature of the material world. Now, if material world one cannot understand, what is the possibility of understanding the spiritual world and Krishna? This is what the point Krishna is saying. Mama varpa anu vartande manushya partha sarvavasha. That everyone follows me, Krishna says. That I come, I give the process to the people every time when I come. At different times I've appeared in different forms. And when I come, I give them the process by which they can approach me. And naturally the people follow him. They follow Krishna in that way. That is what is mentioned. Mama varpa anu vartande manushya partha sarvasham. Everything, all the knowledge has to come from Krishna. There is no other way. This process of research work and experiments and all that and speculation doesn't take us to that point. Krishna says, therefore, the only choice for a conditioned soul in this world is to simply take the process of Krishna consciousness or the process or the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet, whereby one can understand the absolute truth. Otherwise, there is no possibility. കാംക്ഷന്തകർമ്മണാം സിദ്ധിം യജന്തമിഹദേവത ക്ഷിപ്രം ഹി മാനുഷേ ലോകേ സിദ്ധിർഭവതി കർമ്മജാഹ. ദാറ്റ് ദിസ് വേഴ്സ് 12 ഇൻ ഫോർത്ത് ചാപ്റ്റർ. കാംക്ഷന്തകർമ്മണാം സിദ്ധിം യജന്തമിഹദേവത കർമ്മണാം സിദ്ധിം കാംക്ഷന്ത. ദാറ്റ് ഹ്യൂമൻ നേച്ചർ ഇസ് സച്ച് ദേ ഹാവ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ ഡിസയേഴ്സ്. മെറ്റീരിയൽ ഡിസയേഴ്സ് ഡോണ്ട് ലീവ് ദം വെരി ഈസിലി. സോ വെൻ ദേ ഹാവ് മെറ്റീരിയൽ ഡിസയേഴ്സ് വാട്ട് ദേ ഡു, യജന്ത ഇഹദേവത. ഇൻ ദ വേദാസ് ദർ ആർ a description or the process of worship of several demigods in the Vedic literature. So kaankshanda karmanam siddhim yajantam iha devata, when they have such desires, what they do is they worship the demigods. And then kshipram hi manushe loge siddhir bhavati karmajam, then the result of that is they get the results also very very quickly. That by worshipping the demigods, they get the results very quickly. Shipram himanushe loke, where? In this earthly planet, where we are human beings, manushe loke. Only for this, for us, this facility has been offered, that you can worship the demigods and you can obtain the results from them. And the demigods have been given certain power authorized by Krishna, that they can offer the results of to those who worship them. ക്ഷിപ്രം ഹിമാനുഷേ ലോകേ സിദ്ധിർഭവതി കർമ്മജാം. ദെൻ ബൈ പെർഫോമിംഗ് ദ പ്രോസസ് ഓഫ് വർഷിപ്പ് ഓർ ദി ഓതറൈസ്ഡ് വേ വാട്ട് ഈസ് മെൻഷൻഡ് ഇൻ ദി വേദിക് ലിറ്ററേച്ചർ, ഇഫ് വൺ ഫോളോസ് ദാറ്റ് പ്രോസസ്, ദെൻ നാച്ചുറലി ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഹൗ ദി ഡെമിഗോഡ് വർഷിപ്പ് ബിക്കെയിം വെരി വെരി പ്രോമിനന്റ്. ആൻഡ് ദിസ് ഡെമിഗോഡ് വർഷിപ്പ് കണ്ടിന്യൂഡ് ഫോർ ലോങ് ടൈം, ബിക്കോസ് many everyone in this world is not ready to go back to the spiritual world. That you have to remember always. Sometimes we think that the whole world is ready to go to spiritual world. Actually, it is not so. Most of the people in this world still have so much desires to be fulfilled here, and in that process, when they want to approach the Supreme Lord, from the Vedic literature they get the information that by worshipping certain demigods, they can obtain what they require for their happiness in this world. So Krishna has given that concession to them. The intention behind that is that even when, while living in this world, in order to be happy and satisfied, one has to follow the Vedic process. That is what it means. Krishna has never mentioned anywhere that one has to manufacture one's own process even to become happy in this world. So Krishna's words in the Bhagavad Gita is based on this understanding that kamchanda karmanam siddhim yajandamihadevada kshipram himanushe loge siddhir bhavati karmajam, that quickly they get the results. But the problem here is people often do not understand that although they are worshipping the demigods, the results are actually given by Krishna. The results come from Krishna, and that we do not recognize. We think that the particular demigod has got the power to offer the results, but it is not so. That is what Krishna is mentioning there. That actually, neither your karma, and means your activity, nor the demigods are capable of giving any results. Results come from Krishna. Bhala dhadhav, that is how it's called. Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam also, this very point, very strongly, he mentions this, that people worship demigods, and the result will be that they will forget about me. They forget that I am the person behind it who offer the results to them. Then, and the purpose of all the activities what we do, it becomes matured very quickly in this earthly planet, because karmam is there. Karmam becomes very the fruitful results of the karmam comes out very quickly here. Chadurvarnim maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagasha tasya kartaram abhimam iti kartaram avyayam. Then Krishna says, Chadurvarnyam maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagasha tasya kartaram abhimam iti kartaram avyayam. Chadurvarnyam, these four varnams, Krishna says, I have created. Chadurvarnyam maya srishtam. So this is a very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita, because which is based on this Chadurvarnyam, that the Varnashrama Dharmam, which is the very heart of Vedic culture. So when the Chadurvarnyam breaks down, more or less you can say the Vedic tradition also has a difficult situation. Why? Because it is gunakarma vibhagasham. Gunam is the basis on which the division is taken. Normally when we think about this, gunakarma vibhagasha, out of that, it is the gunam that is driving it. It is the gunam that even drives the karmam, isn't it? What is that gunam? Guna means three modes of material nature. For example, we have three modes, sattvam, rajas and tamas, goodness, passion and ignorance. Now, out of these three gunas and the four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudram, they have acquired a particular mode from this. A Brahmana is generally considered to be in the mode of goodness, a Kshatriya is in the mode of passion, a Vaishya in the mode of passion and ignorance, and Shudra in the mode of ignorance. So this is how the four varnas have acquired the three different modes. Brahmana in goodness, Kshatriya in passion, Vaishya in passion and ignorance, and Shudra in ignorance. So this is how Varnashrama Dharma begins, this history begins. So as long as these varnas, these modes of nature are working with the people, on that basis the division has to happen. And as long as the mode of goodness is prominent in the society, you can say that the Brahminical culture is prominent. And similarly, the mode of passion is prominent, naturally the Kshatriyas are prominent, and Vaishyas are prominent when passion and ignorance is prominent, and Shudras is prominent when Tamogunam is prominent in this world. So that is how that division starts. Now from that gunam, depending on that gunam, karmam will start, karmam, the activities of the individuals. So generally our nature, depending on the gunam, we will act in this world, isn't it? So gunam is that driving everything. So you can see how important gunam is. Without gunam, nothing and none of this has any meaning. The powerful three modes of material nature, which is the agency of Maya, it is through these three modes, like three ropes, Krishna has bound us in this material world. This is the binding rope on us. Unless one is able to break away from these three ropes, we are not able to escape from this material world. And that is the nature of these three ropes. That is why how it is mentioned. So how to free oneself from these three ropes of goodness, passion and ignorance, that is what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Chadurvarnyam Maya Srishtam, Krishna says, I have created this. Guna Karma Vibhagasha, Gunam and Karmam is the basis on which their division has happened. Out of these two, Gunam is more important because Gunam decides the Karmam afterwards. It is based on the Gunam a person will act in this world. So, how powerful the Gunam has to be, Gunam is in a person. And Tasya Kartaram Abhimam Vidhigartaram Avyayam. That everything that is in this earthly planet is based on this and Brahmana and onwards, all the Varnas division is also based on this. Now, if you go in the history, this has proved many times that there is a normal conception that the Varnashrama Dharmam is based on birth. That Varna Dharmam is based on birth. But nowhere in the Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has supported that. Krishna has not agreed with that. So you can see in this verse also, it is the gunam that is the most prominent factor which decides that. Now, in the history, if you look, if you read through Puranas, particularly Mahabharatam, as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find this issue coming up very often, now and then. Take for example, Maharaj Rishabhadev's children. He had 100 children. Out of 100 children, the eldest one, Bharat, he became the emperor of the planet. He was the emperor of the planet, Bharata. Sage Bharata, Bharata Maharshi. So after the Bharat, King Bharata, he had 99 children. Out of that, 81 became Brahmanas. It says in the Bhagavatam like that. 81 of them became Brahmanas. What kind of Brahmanas? Yajna Brahmanas. They had performed sacrifices to such a high degree, yajna vishuddhi. Yajna vishuddhi means by performing sacrifices they purified themselves to such an extent they were highly qualified to conduct sacrifices. 81 members of the 81 sons of Maharaj Rishabhadev. Then another nine became assistants to King Bharata to rule the planet, because Bharata alone could not rule the planet. This was discussed before Rishabhadev left the palace and went on his on his journey to give up his body, which you know in the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, you can read that story. So before Rishabhadev left, he decided how the 100 sons should conduct themselves. So based on their quality, he divided them. And he knew 81 were qualified to be brahmanas, to perform sacrifices. One of them, the eldest, became the emperor. The 9 others who were kshatriyas by quality, they became his assistants to rule the planet. And then the remaining 9, after that, the remaining 9, they became the Navayogindras. Or in other words, they crossed beyond the Varna and Ashrama Dharma. You see? So, depending on their spiritual qualifications, these decisions were made and they were precisely followed. This was the system in the olden days. Of course, in Varnashrama Dharma system was not a problem then, because the whole society was centered around spiritual life, and Vedic literature and spiritual life was very much an integral part of human life in this world. So there was no difficulty at that time. Actually, when one crossed beyond Varnashrama Dharma, they are called, or those personalities, Avadhudas or Atyashramis, also they are referred to. So the 9 sages came to that stage. In other words, they were not affected by Varnam or by Ashrama. That stage has come to them. In other words, they were liberated souls. And because of that, they were given a special positions as Navayogindras. And if you want to hear about them, you have to wait till the Ekadasha Skandham, where their discussions about Krishna consciousness in the palace of Nimi Maharaj with Janaka Maharaj and these 9 yogis, that discussion is very famous in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and that has been quoted all over. You will find, if you want to understand what is Krishna consciousness, you have to hear from these 9 sages. And that is a discussion when Vasudeva and Devaki, at the last minute before they departed from this world, a few days before that, Vasudeva and Devaki wanted to hear from Srinarada Maharshi about how to understand Krishna's position, because up to that point Vasudeva and Devaki thought that Krishna is our son. But the time of appearance, Krishna has told Vasudeva and Devaki that you must see us not only as your dearmost son, but you should also see me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unfortunately, this didn't happen to Vasudeva and Devaki. And therefore, what Krishna arranged was, just before his departure, he arranged Narada Maharshi to come there. And in the palace, Vasudeva and Devaki inquired from Sri Narada Maharshi about it. And in reply to that, Sri Narada Maharshi quotes this famous conversation between Nimi Maharaj in Mithila and also these 9 Yogendras. That is the famous discussion there. Runs into almost four chapters in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can see that 9 personalities became great yogis beyond the Varnashrama Dharma. One has become the king, the emperor. The 9 were there as kings to assist, and then 81 of them have become brahmanas. So that was how that 100 children of Rishabhadev took into different varnas. Now, if you look in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will also find several other interesting personalities like this. Take for example Vishwamitra Maharshi. Vishwamitra Maharshi was born as the son of Gadhi. So he is virtually by a son of a sage, isn't it? So when he is a son of a sage, what is he? He is actually a brahmana. Gadhi was a very powerful brahmana and a powerful sage. And he taught Vishwamitra everything relationship with the brahminical culture, brahminical duties. But due to a particular changeover from the ghee that was given after chanting the mantram, which you find in the 9th canto, that story, whole consciousness of Vishwamitra changed. And the result was that as soon as he came out of the womb, the tendency started building up to become a kshatriya. He didn't want to be a brahmana. And that determination, that strength of character, and the shauryam or the heroic nature, valor, courage, everything you find in Vishwamitra purely as a kshatriya, although taken birth in the family of a brahmana. Shauryam, tejam, dhriti, dakshyam, all these qualities you will find in Vishwamitra. And what did Vishwamitra do? Vishwamitra, as usual, as soon as he became He developed some of the finest weapons in this world for warfare. That is Vishwamitra's history. And this Vishwamitra also took Lord Ramachandra and Lakshmana to his ashramam, in Siddhashramam it was called, where he used to run this famous institution of teaching the students how to use these weapons. And therefore you will find Vishwamitra was a determined personality, but although born as in a Brahminical tradition, he became a Kshatriya. In that Vishwamitra was a king by Kshatriya, but lot of Brahminical qualities in him were present there at that time. On the other hand, if you look at Parashuram, just the opposite also. Parashuram by birth was a Brahmana, isn't it? Jamadagni's son. But the way he conducted himself was purely like a Kshatriya. 21 times he invaded the whole world and completely killed all the Kshatriyas from here. Although he is a Brahmana by birth, but activities were like a Kshatriya. So you can see, gunam and karmam decides a person's nature. Purely by the gunam. Gunam drives that person to act in a particular way. So in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find, Chaturvarnyam maya srishtam guna karma vibhagasha tasya vipartharam abhimam vidhikartharam avyayam. Then, the other important thing is here, that if this decision, that what has been done is, that is that not important then? One is born in a Brahmana family? Yes. There is also some relevance to that. That in the older tradition, when these Varnashrama Dharma was followed strictly, one develops the necessary purification, or one develops these qualities due to the samskara. Samskara is that leads the person to develop this quality. For example, a Brahmana has normally 40 samskars to be performed in his lifetime. 40. 40 samskars are performed for a Brahmana. And in order to do that, you need the right people to perform at the right age. And these samskars generally purify the person to develop those Brahminical qualities as well. So samskars are important. So samskars helps a person to develop those qualities. And when taken birth in a particular situation, that will help him to execute those samskara, means purificatory processes. So these purificatory processes will help a person to develop those qualities in him. So that is why that is also mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So at last minute, when Yudhishthira Maharaj asked Srinarada Maharshi, what is the ultimate conclusion about it? Srinarada Maharshi answers in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yasya yal lakshanam proktam pum samvarna abhivanjagam. That yasya yal lakshanam proktam pum samvarna abhivanjagam. Yasya yal lakshanam proktam pum samvarna abhivanjagam. Yad anyatra vidrishyeda tata deva vinirdishel. That Krishna, Narada Maharshi put it like this to Yudhishthira Maharaj, that I have now explained to you in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a lot more detailed description of this Varnashrama Dharma in the Bhagavatam. 5 chapters in the 7th canto, and later on 2 more chapters in the 11th canto. Krishna talks about that Uddhava in 2 chapters, and Narada Maharshi speaks to Yudhishthira Maharaj in 5 chapters. So there, in that 5 chapters, Srinarada Maharshi told Yudhishthira Maharaj, Yasya lakshanam proktam pum samvarna abhivanjagam. That Krishna Narada Maharshi says that I have spoken to you the nature of the divisions of this society, but if these qualities are found elsewhere in anyone, you should also have to take that into consideration. Tata deva vinirdishel, Krishna Narada Maharshi says that is an important factor. Now, where else you will find this Varnashrama Dharma? Varnashrama Dharma is mentioned in many, many instances throughout in the Srimad Bhagavatam and also in the other Puranas. Some places, in place of birth, you will find given importance to that. And some places, it is based on the qualities. But what is important thing is the qualities. The qualities is that determines a person's real varnam, not the birth. But birth has been given a prominent place, because it is expected that due to birth he may have these qualities in a natural way because of the purificatory processes performed by the parents and the society. So this is how it has been done. For example, if you look that one of the great acharyas, it was known as Govinda Bhagavatpada. Govinda Bhagavatpada was a great acharya, and in his purva ashram, that means before he took to sannyasa ashram, he was a brahmachari, and he had to go through a hard time. It was talking about 2000 years ago, all these incidents have happened. That he, in one instance, he was traveling from Kashmir to Chidambaram in Tamil Nadu to learn the Patanjali's Vyakarana. Vyakarana means the grammar. Patanjali has written a very famous, Patanjali Maharshi has written a famous commentary on the Mahabhashyam, it is called. And to study that, he was traveling. And he had to go through a difficult situation where he was questioned by a Brahmarakshas, that means a Brahmana who died and he could not get another gross body. So there was some difficulty, and in that process, this Govinda Bhagavatpada, his name was in the previous life, ashrama, was known as Chandrasharma. Chandrasharma somehow won the competition, what he had to face. But in that process, he had this commentary what he was carrying with him. And that commentary was written on the leaves, which was known as on those days, obviously there was no facilities like today. Most of the things people kept in their head, and they didn't waste their time manufacturing things. Rather, they were involved in, they had simple systems by which they were able to write things on the leaves, and they carried it with that. So unfortunately, in his case, while traveling, this bundle of leaves he carried with him, and some place he fell and went into sleep. And he left this bundle of leaves near his head and he fell asleep. Unfortunately, while sleeping, a goat came and ate that. What was written on that leaves, that was half eaten by the goat. When he woke up from his, it's a long story, but we haven't got so much time to say everything in detail. But very simply, I'm only trying to talk about the Varnashrama Dharma side of his life. Other things are there, but that has to be talked about at a different time. So when he woke up, these leaves were all eaten, half eaten. So he felt very sad about it, that he spent a lot of time traveling from Kashmir to Chidambaram to get this knowledge, which he was carrying very, because that was his greatest asset. And he was carrying this with him, and the half of it was eaten. And therefore, that commentary came to know later on as Ajabhakshita Bhashyam. Ajabhakshita Bhashyam means goat-eaten commentary. That is how it was given. The name was given like that, Ajabhakshita Bhashyam. So he carried that, and he slept and slept for a long time. So where he was sleeping, a girl came there to bathe in the river, and she saw him there, lying there. Looking at him, she thought that he is a very noble person by his physical appearance and everything. So she tried to wake him up. She couldn't wake him up. And it so happened that she happened to be the daughter of a physician who is generally categorized in the Shudra category. And this girl made arrangements to take him home and started massaging ground rice on his body. There's a special type of rice for that in the Ayurveda system. So when someone is completely collapsed in physically, this particular rice is used and massaged on his body, and through the pores of the hair, this gets into the blood, and the person gets his strength back. So for a few days, she treated him in this way, and he got back his strength, and he woke up from his sleep. When he woke up from the sleep, and he found that this was the condition with his leaves, and he saw that he was living in somebody's house, so they had a conversation between this girl and this Brahmana boy, Chandrasharma. They spoke to each other, and Chandrasharma asked her, "What shall I do in return for what you have done to me?" And naturally the request from her that she wanted to marry him. So she put this proposal to him. Chandrasharma thought about this, and Chandrasharma also spoke to her father. But there was a problem, because Brahmanas are normally don't marry Shudra unless they have married a Kshatriya and a Vaishya prior to that. So the issue came up. They took the matter to the court. So when the king came to know about it, the king had a daughter who wanted to be married. And when they saw Chandra Sharma and Chandra Sharma's knowledge and his appearance, everything, the king wanted to marry his daughter in marriage to him, to Chandra Sharma. So Chandra Sharma thought that this is going to be a problem. First of all, king's daughter wants to marry. In the meanwhile, the minister also thought he had a daughter in marriageable age. He wanted to marry her also. He wanted to marry his daughter to him. So the result was that he married all of them. So from a Brahmana, a son was born, who is famous later on, known as Vararuchi. Vararuchi was born from the Brahmana wife. From a Kshatriya wife, another son was born. He became Vikramaditya. Vikramaditya, probably some of you may have heard, who have studied Indian history. He was a great, powerful king who managed the whole Bharatavarsham at that time. Vikramaditya was born from the Kshatriya wife. And then from the Vaishya wife, he got a son who became the prime minister of Vikramaditya, who was known as Bhatti. And from the Shudra wife, he got a son who was called Bhartrahari. Bhartrahari became a great poet later on in Sanskrit. So from four wives, Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya, Shudra, four sons were born, or four different, or from different varnas. So that is how Varnashrama Dharma was very rigidly followed in those days. That was the very basis on which the Vedic way of life was founded. Even after so many thousands of years, this Varnashrama Dharma has always commanded a respect, because it is only in Varnashrama Dharma that you will find a higher culture will develop. You can also see yourself that when there is a powerful element of people in the mode of goodness, it is very difficult for that society to deteriorate easily. It's not easy for that society to deteriorate. That is why Brahmanas have given the special position in the society, and they are upheld for their qualities. And as long as the Brahminical qualities are driving the society, the other less powerful units like the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras, particularly the Vaishyas and Shudras, will not take control of the society. And as long as Brahmanas lead the society, that society will definitely be on its way back home, back to Godhead. It's a higher possibility than any other society. Suppose you take away all these things. There is no Brahmana, no Kshatriya, no Vaishya, no Shudra. Then what happens? Then that's what we have got today. So you can see that this division is an absolute necessity in the society. Because the purpose of this is, from the Vedic point of view, is everyone cannot take to spiritual life completely. It is not possible. It's no point in expecting that everyone in this world will take 100% to spiritual path and go back home, back to Godhead. First of all, they don't have the renunciation, detachment. Their attachment to sense gratification is strong. And in addition to that, they also have a lot of material desires in them to fulfill. Every living entity, when he comes to this world, he doesn't come empty-handed. He brings a full stack of material desires inside. And as long as the right opportunity comes, these desires will start manifesting in the form of different vasanas. So as soon as the vasanas are there, and they are looking for an outlet, and the sense gratification possibility is there, they will fall into that. So such a society has no chance of survival for very long. It will degenerate very quickly, and it will develop into more problems. And that is what, as you know, the history shows again and again. But from the Vedic point of view, if at least a certain group of people, 1% or 5% or 10%, whatever is possible, you who are capable, who have the degree of renunciation or detachment in this material world, who have the commitment for spiritual life, who have the desire to go back home, back to Krishna, and who are also disciplined in their life by following strictly the principles of religious principles of Brahminical culture, namely truthfulness, honesty, simplicity, and patience, tolerance, so many things mentioned, that if these things are there, then that small percentage is capable of guiding the society in the right direction. As I mentioned before, Brahmana and Kshatriya, Brahmam and Kshatram, these are the two powerful forces in this world. If they cooperate together, that society can be happy, because Kshatriyas who have the ability to administer, if they are guided in the right direction by the Brahmana, there is no question of that society falling into crisis easily. But then, in their protection, the Vaishyas and the Shudras are able to function in a reasonable way. But otherwise, when you completely cut off the head, which is the Brahmanas, Krishna says, Brahmanas are my head, and if you cut off your head and they cut off their arms, and what is left? The belly and the legs, isn't it? The belly and the legs is left. So if the belly and legs cooperate together, what will happen? The legs will only talk about filling the belly, isn't it? Will they do anything else? No. The legs will only say, I'll fill you up as much as you want. Belly will say, if you fill me up as much as you can, then I'll keep you moving and you can also function. So these two together, the Vaishya and the Shudra together, that is Rajogunam and Tamogunam basically. Vaishyas are Rajogunam and Tamogunam. Acquiring wealth and counting the notes. That is Vaishya. And Shudra means he is only satisfied in his gratification of the senses. As long as somebody gives him the money to maintain his body, then of filling the belly, he is satisfied. So it is basically you can say, Kali Yuga is basically an operation of the hands and the legs and the belly together. So that is what this Varnashrama Dharma is teaching us. Through these verses, Krishna is pointing out to us that how powerful the Vedic culture is, and if it is strictly followed, how beneficial it is to the human society. Chadurvarnyam maya srishtam gunakarma vibhagasha tasya karta arama vimam vidhi karta arama vyayam. So after that, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that Sri Narada Maharshi has mentioned this. Namam karma nilimbandi name karma bhale spriha idimam yobhijanadi karma virunasa badhyadeyam. Another important point. Namam karmani milimbandi name karma bhale spriham. Krishna says, when I perform some activity, namam karmani limbandi, the activity, I am not attached to that karma. This is how Krishna functions in this world. When Krishna comes here, you see, karma is a very, very powerful thing in this world. Unless and until we understand, Vedic culture or Vedic philosophy has got two very fundamental things which are not present in the other religious processes in this world. And Vedic religion gives so much importance to it, because it is based on these two that differentiates Vedas from all the other literature in this world. And one of them is laws of karma. Namam karma anilimbandi name karma phale spriha. Nor Krishna says, I'm not attached about the work what I'm doing, nor I'm concerned about the results either. You see, namam karma anilimbandi name karma phale spriha. Idimam yobhijanadi karma virnasa badyade. If one understands my way of performing, what should one do? We should follow Krishna in the same way. That is the only way to get out of this situation what we are in today. What is that situation? Situation is this, that when we execute karmam, our attachment is very strong to the results. And when we execute karmam also, name karma phale spriha idimam yobhijanadi karma virunasa badyade. If one acts in this understanding, like Krishna is acting, then there is no chance of getting bound by karma. That's what Krishna is saying. Namam karma nilimbandi name karma phale spriha idimam yobhijanadi karma virunasa badyade. Karma will not bind you. What is the problem with karma? Karma has got a big problem. What is that? Karma has the biggest problem is that when you execute karma, no matter what karma is in this world, there is always going to be some defect with it. Can you see, tell me any karma where what has been executed without a defect? There is not one karma you can show that. Even great, great personalities, they have agreed with this. That is the nature of karma. Just to give you an example, there are so many examples you can give, but if you analyze constantly, you will see this happening. Mahatma Gandhi wanted to liberate India from the British rule. He worked very hard, and he said that through non-violence, through the process of non-violence, he was going to follow that process very seriously, and he followed it very strictly also till the very last minute. So till the 1947, 15th of January, independence was handed over. After this, non-violent fighting for independence. What happened after that? The very next minute after that was a continuous flow of slaughter, human slaughter, isn't it? You all know what happened after the partition when Pakistan and India were created. So, all along you were protecting your non-violence with your so-called untruthfulness and the non-violent approach, and karma was executed properly. But ultimately, it was followed by the process of violence. So, this is a defect with karma. Karma will not allow you to escape without being hurt somewhere. Just like when you are fighting with a tiger, you are going to get scratched somewhere. You are not going to come out from that without being hurt. Similarly, the nature of karma is also like that. Any karma you execute in this world will eventually cause some problem from there. Number one. Number two, the nature of karma is also such, karma will bind you. Bandhanam. Karma bandhanam. It is mentioned in all the shastras, you will find bondage. Why? Karma has got phalasurubam. Phalasurubam means that when you execute a particular karma, you want the results to come from that, isn't it? And phalasurubam, that is difficult to give up easily. Although you may say that, oh, I'm not interested, but when you execute the karma, the mind will not allow you to pull out from that very easily. It doesn't matter. You may be a sannyasi or this, that, it doesn't matter. The desire will always be there. But you want that something good should come out of that. Unless one has gone to that extent, transcended the everything, it is possible that this desire will come back and bondage will happen. So, bandhanam and also this particular defect with the karma, that there will be false afterwards. This is the difficulty. Evam yatva kridam karma purvai iravimamukshuvi kuru karma iva tasmatvam purvai purvadharam kridam. So, in the last words, Krishna says that namam karmani limbandi name karma phalespruha. That if one understands the nature of karma and the way I am executing the karma, and if he follows me in that way, he can escape from the reactions of karma. Idimam yobhi janadi karmaphir nasabadhyade. And in the next verse, Krishna is saying, evam yatva kridam karma purvai iravimumukshuvi kuru karma ivadasmatvam purvai purvadharam kridam. Krishna says, in the past, that means before Krishna's time, in the past, this is how people have executed karma. How? Evam yatva kridam karma purvam purvairavi mumukshuvi. What kind of people? Mumukshuvi. Mumukshuvi means one who has a strong desire for liberation. Such people. One who has a strong desire for liberation. Such people, they have executed karma in that way. Evam yatva kridam karma purvairavi mumukshuvi. Mumukshuvi, they have executed karma in the way I have executed. Kuru karma eva dasmatvam purvai purvadharam kridam. That if you follow that, what will happen is akartrutvam will happen. That means you will not identify yourself as you are the doer. That and identity as I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, that has to go from that. Kuru karma eva dasmatvam purvai purvadharam kridam. Krishna explains that to Arjuna, that this is how it was done. Kim karma kim akarmedi kavayopyatra mohida tate karma pravakshyami yajñatva mokshase shubhal. From now on, even Krishna himself is explaining there, kim karma kim akarmedi, what is karmam, what is akarmam, that is very difficult, Krishna says. Kim karma kim akarmedi, in that kavayopyatra mohida, even very learned people, they find it very difficult. Even very learned people find it difficult to understand what is karmam, what is akarmam. Kim karma kim akarmedi kavayopyatramo hida. Very great learned people, they find it difficult to understand what is right and what is wrong, karmam. You can see how difficult it is. When you go through Bhagavad Gita, you will realize it, the difficulty in making that judgment. Kim karma kim akarmedi kavayopyatram ohida tatte karma pravakshyami yajñatva mokshase shubhal. That if you know how to execute karma properly, And if you know how to avoid akarma, then more or less Krishna says, and if you follow that route, you will come to perfection. That's what Krishna says. That tate karma pravakshyami yajnatva mokshase shubhal. By alone, but it is not possible for human mind to make that distinction. That is Krishna's point. It is not possible for the human mind to make that distinction. What is right and what is wrong? Often people ask this question. I am doing such and such a job. And in that particular job, is that proper for me to do this? Naturally, why lawyer may sometimes say this, raise this question, that I am a criminal lawyer. And he knows that he has to tell lies to protect his client in that situation, isn't it? He has to protect his clients in that situation. Take for example, any profession in this world, is there one profession which is free from defect? You cannot say one. Because in everything, this is the same question all the time, coming back to his own consciousness. That not only a lawyer, even if you take the example for a businessman, a businessman creates so much havoc in this world. If you look at the analyze this thing, in the Elisha Skandam, Krishna says about this. How, what happens if you give freedom to execute uncontrolled way businesses in this world? That is why Krishna has drawn certain fences everywhere. Stay within this fencing so you don't fall and slip and start doing vikarmam. There are three things in the Bhagavad Gita, karmam, akarmam and vikarmam. What is the difference? Karmam is what is given the injunctions in the Shastram. What Veda says, what is allowed, that is karmam. Then what is akarmam, what is not allowed. So two things are already mentioned, what is allowed and what is not allowed. One is karmam, other one is akarmam. Then there is a third category which is called vikarmam. And this vikarmam is the most troublesome thing because most of the world is engaged in vikarmam. That is what you can see today. The result of vikarmam is unpredictable. What will happen from vikarmam? Because vikarmam is that which is not covered in the Vedic rules or under the Vedic tradition. It has come from one's own mind. One's own mind, it has developed. Now, if I start doing something in this world without considering about someone who will be affected by that, just like I'm saying about business people. Many businesses in this world runs only on one principle, that is the profit. Profit and money, isn't it? The greed behind it. But what happens is mostly that these people, when they are engaged in their business activities, they are not able to think how much disaster they bring to the people to whom they are doing the business with. They have no idea about it. Because they try to force upon their concept of life and their perceptions about life on some other society. And that is what you normally find in this world. You can give so many examples to that. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, while referring to this, about this karmam, akarmam and vikarmam. Krishna says this, vikarmam category you have to be extremely careful. Why? Why it should be careful? First problem is, in vikarmam, there is an intense desire for sense gratification. That is what is driving him to do that vikarmam. Isn't it? So, just I'm giving an example. Many, many countries in this world are engaged in sales of arms, isn't it? To the other countries or to other people elsewhere in the world. Now, the way it is presented is that it is necessary to save the jobs here. But when you sell, on the other side, what is happening with that equipment, what has been sold, is not taken care of here while making that sales to that particular group, whoever is buying or whoever is using it at the end. So, one who is not aware of one's own actions and the results of one's own actions is normally performing what is known as vikarmam. That is categorized into vikarmam. But those who are engaged in the activity, they are not thinking that. They are thinking, I am doing a wonderful service to my country, to my people, because if I sell so many planes or tanks or ships or whatever it is to such and such people, what will happen? If I sell them, we get the money, and the money will keep people on jobs. So is there better than anything else what I can do for the country? This is how they are thinking. But Krishna's calculations are different. You have taken to some vikarmam, and vikarmam has to come back to you. Unless you understand what this vikarmam means, everyone in this material world, especially in the modern way of life, is engaged in vikarmam. That is what you have to remember. And this vikarmam will follow you, not only in this lifetime, in many, many, many lifetimes, Krishna says. So there is no excuse for that. This is the difficulty. That is why it is a hard thing to understand what is karmam, what is akarmam, what is vikarmam. That is what Krishna says here. That karmanohya vibodhavyam, bodhavyamcha vikarmana, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmanogadi. Gahana karmanogadi. Nobody understands, Krishna says, how karma will drive you. What more do you want? A statement from Krishna. That karmanohya vibodhavyam, bodhavyamcha vikarmana, akarmanascha bodhavyam, gahana karmanogadi. Gahana karmanogadi. Nobody understands how karma works in this world. And there itself, Krishna begins with that, gahana karmanogadi. That is the most significant statement. No one understands the implications of one's own karma. When things go wrong in this world, at that point, we start asking, why? Why did this happen? Why did this happen to us? And then we shedding tears about it. We crying. Why this is, what went wrong? We are such nice people in this world. Why these things are happening? What's wrong with Krishna? That's what we are asking. The question. Our question is like that. What's wrong with Krishna? That does he not understand that we such nice people, gentlemen, all gentlemen in this world, we have come here. Gahana karmano gadi. That is why karma has been given such a powerful impetus in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you take to Srila Prabhupada's purport on these words, I thought I should read that because it is so powerful purport. The intricacies of action, verse 17. The intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. Purport. If one is serious about liberation from material bondage, one has to understand the distinctions between action, inaction, and unauthorized actions. One has to apply oneself to such an analysis of action, reaction, and perverted actions because it is a very difficult subject matter. Normally people think, where is the difficulty, they say. We have to sell and get the profit, that's all. Where is the problem? What are you worried about? This is what they are saying. The businessman says like that. Big multinational corporations, they are driven by this theory. And they think they can get away with it. No, but Krishna says no, you won't be able to get away with it. Temporarily it may appear as though everything is going wonderful. Your stocks are selling well in the stock exchange. And you are feeling that the returns are good. And you can leave the company also with a good package at the end. That's all very fine. But unfortunately, Krishna's laws are a little bit more stringent than that. It's a very difficult subject matter to understand Krishna consciousness. And action according to the modes, one has to learn one's relationship with the Supreme. One who has learned perfectly knows that every living entity is the eternal servitor of the Lord and that consequently one has to act in Krishna consciousness. The entire Bhagavad Gita is directed towards this conclusion. Any other conclusions against this consciousness and its attendant reactions are vikarmas or prohibitive actions. To understand all this, one has to associate with authorities in Krishna consciousness and learn the secret from them. This is as good as learning from the Lord directly. Otherwise, even the most intelligent person will be bewildered. That is what Krishna says, Prabhupada says about that. So you can see that why Varnashrama Dharma is necessary. Because the people who know about it, what is akarmam, and who has that control in their mind and senses not to engage in such sinful activities, is the people who are in the mode of goodness. If one in the mode of passion and ignorance is driving the society, for him there is no karmam, there is no akarmam, there is no vikarmam, everything is profit. So when this division happened in the society, Krishna, when instituted Varnashrama Dharmam, the main reason behind it was the loss of karma that was encouraging that this Varnashrama Dharma should stay. And you can see when Varnashrama Dharma is taken out of the society, the loss of karma also has been ignored and rejected. So that is what is happening today. That's why Krishna is saying, karmanohya vibodhavyam, bodhavyam ca vikarmana, akarmanascha bodhavyam, ghana karmano gadim. Then, to determine what is karma, why it has been done like this, you have to understand from the Vedic literature. It is a big topic, this karma, akarma and vikarma. Karmanohya vibodhavyam, bodhavyam ca vikarmana, akarmanascha bodhavyam, ghana karmano gadi. This gahana karmano gadi, the way in which karma will come back to you, that is very gahanam. Gahanam means it's very confidential. Krishna says, you won't know that. Just like this karma, what we have experienced in this world, karma what we experienced, as I mentioned before, that individual karma is known as vyashti. And there is a collective karma, what is known as samashti. Samashti means, samashti and vyashti, that is how it is discussed in the shastras. What is samashti and what is vyashti? The normal way of understanding that is, easiest way is, if you take a drop of water from the ocean, that is called vyashti. That means it is a miniature form of the whole thing, isn't it? A drop is a miniature form of the whole water in the sea. So the whole thing is called samashti. And the miniature drop is called vyashti in the shastra. All the qualities are there in the vyashti as well as in the samashti. But what is the difference? One is on a larger scale, the other one is in a smaller scale. One is on a larger scale, other one is on a smaller scale. If you look into chapter 8 in the Bhagavad Gita, verse 16, you will find there, Prabhupada has used a word called Panjagni Vidya, which you can see there. I think it is in the Chapter 8, verse 16. Yes. This is in attaining the Supreme. Chapter 8, verse 16. In the purport, you will find Prabhupada saying there, ആ ബ്രഹ്മഭുവനാലോക പുനരാവർത്തിനോർജുന മാമുപേത്യതുകൗന്ദേയ പുനർജന്മ അനവിദ്യതേ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദാൻ ഇൻ ദി കഥോപനിഷത്ത്, റൈറ്റ് ഇൻ ദ മിഡിൽ ഓഫ് ദി ദാറ്റ് പെർപോർട്ട്, കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ദ ദി ആസ് പേഴ്സൺസ് ഓൺ എർത്ത് ആർ എലിവേറ്റഡ് ടു ഹയർ പ്ലാനറ്റ്സ്, പീപ്പിൾ ഇൻ ഹയർ പ്ലാനറ്റ്സ് സച്ച് ആസ് ബ്രഹ്മലോക, ചന്ദ്രലോക ആൻഡ് ഇന്ദ്രലോക ഫോൾ ഡൗൺ ടു എർത്ത്. ദ പ്രാക്ടീസ് ഓഫ് സാക്രിഫൈസ് കോൾഡ് പഞ്ചാഗ്നി വിദ്യ റെക്കമെൻഡഡ് ഇൻ ദി കഥോപനിഷത്ത് enables one to achieve Brahmaloka, but if in Brahmaloka one does not cultivate Krishna consciousness, then he must return to earth. You see? So that Panchagni Vidya is important. What is that Panchagni Vidya? We will discuss that. We find out what that Panchagni Vidya means. So, when you look into this world, the living entity, which is normally the jiva or the soul, he has, after death, a journey starts for him. He doesn't finish with the death, isn't it? It goes on. It is what is called the karma or the cycle of birth and death. So he has to leave the body, accept another body. This is all explained in the Bhagavad Gita in very detail later on. So this change of body for him is a very difficult process, because when one comes to this world, most of us come in ignorance, isn't it? Somehow or the other, the karma has pushed us to take birth in some particular place under certain parentage, and when we come out from the womb of the mother crying, we come here total ignorance, also no knowledge of anything, why we have come. All we have known is, we know at that point is, we want to eat and drink as much as we can and sleep. That's how the arrival to this world is like that. That means in deepest ignorance we come here. And for years together, we stay in that ignorance. There is always sense gratification is the goal. As much as you want to play, as much as you want to eat the best of the things, and also enjoy playing for 10, 15 years, whatever it is. Sometimes it even go up further than that. But finishes with 10 or 12, it's not bad. But sometimes when you see their desire to play goes on even up to 60 and 80, then you don't know what to say to them. That they are not satisfied because they couldn't play enough at the childhood. It looks like that. That at the 80 also, they are getting up in the morning, driving to some place to play some games. So where did this desire come? Because there was not enough satisfaction there. So anyway, this is what the life starts here. And then afterwards, what happens is that one comes to youth. And in the youth, the whole concept changes in life. Because by then, Rajogunam has built up very strongly in the body. Also, Krishna gives that thing called youth. And the youth means what? Doesn't care for anything then after that. No more instructions from anywhere. Every decision is made by himself because he already feels confident about everything what he does. And also assumes that he has the perfect understanding about everything in relationship with life. So Rajogunam takes over, and with the Rajogunam comes the desire for sense enjoyment also. And that is why it mentions there that when one comes to that youthful age, no good instructions will go in because strongly carried on by the powerful Rajogunam. And then life goes on, and at the end of life, when he gets much more older, naturally the body starts withering away, and by now gets kicked a lot in the material world from different sides, from either from the family or from job or somewhere else. All kinds of kicks he gets, and by then he comes to a little bit of his senses. But by then it is too late to do anything because the body is not allowing him to do anything. Already the mind is also, due to excessive sense gratification in this world, is already preventing him to understand anything superior. And then eventually he leaves the world crying. Like the way he came, he leaves the place also in the same way. So the life is over. So that is what the normal human life in this world without any knowledge. But generally it is like this, that when one takes the human body and comes to this world, there is always this looking for knowledge, but he is not getting it. See, this is the difficulty. He is not getting it. He gets all other kinds of rubbish knowledge, what is useless for him. Probably it may help him to develop some job or business or whatever that is. And if he is satisfied with that, then that is the goal of life, then he is lost. He doesn't have the opportunity to understand the transcendental subjects, relationship with Bhagavad Gita, particularly Bhagavad Gita. Whereas Bhagavad Gita gives an opportunity to understand what human life is meant for. And if one does not take advantage of it, he has lost it. The chance he has lost completely. So, when you talk about this Panchagni Vidya, what is said in that 8th chapter, this is what is known as Karma Yogam in the Vedas. The Vedas, Karma Yoga means this Panchagni Vidya. What is Panchagni Vidya? Let us try to understand that. If you look in the Bhagavad Gita 15th chapter, the beginning, the first verse itself, you will find Urdhamulamathashaga Ashwatham Brahuravyam Chandam Siya Sivarnyani Yasaveda Saveda Vil. The first verse in the 15th chapter. 15th chapter is an important chapter. It is the wonderful summary of the Upanishad's knowledge is in that chapter. What does that mean? I don't know, many of you must have read that verse and you must have wondered what that verse means actually, isn't it? Urdhva Moolam, that means the roots are at the top. Urdhva Moolam Adho Shaga, the branches are at the bottom. Ashwatham, it's a banyan tree. A banyan tree is standing there with the roots at the top and the branches at the bottom. Chandamsi Yasivarnani, Chandas is the Vedic language for the Shastras. Chandamsi Yasya Varnani, they are the leaves of this tree. Yasam Veda Saveda Vil, one who understands this tree, he understands the world, the Vedas. It says like that, in that. I don't know whether you have thought about this. What is this tree we are talking about? People often ask this question also. What are we talking about this tree? Panchajni Vidya and these three are connected each other. What is that relationship? Relationship is this. When the soul leaves the body, after it leaves this body, its destination is unknown. But one thing we know, how far the soul can go. In the normal condition, I am talking about ordinary people. I am not talking about pure devotees like us, who will be going straight back to the spiritual world. I am talking about ordinary conditioned souls. We may all have our own calculations about going back to the spiritual world. But Krishna is saying, wait for a minute, there is a few things to be done before that. So, Chandamsi Yasya Varnani Yastvam Vedasa Vedavil, that karma mandalam, or in other words, if you take the Gayatri mantram, you will find there, the beginning of Gayatri, Bhulogam, Ghorlogam, Swarlogam. Om Bho Bhosa. That is how the Gayatri mantram starts, isn't it? So, there are three planetary systems mentioned there. Three planet, which is Bhulogam, middle planetary system, which is Ghorlogam, and the higher planets, which is Swarlogam. Swarlogam, Ghorlogam, and Bhulogam, three planets. These three planetary systems are called as the karma mandalam. That means the soul rolls around, or soul moves around within this karma mandalam continuously. In the earthly planet, he performs pious activities. He goes up into the heavenly planets, Swarlogam, enjoys there, finishes, comes back here again. And these three planets are part of the Pancha Agnis. So Swarlogam is the topmost. Swarlogam means the heavenly planets. Middle of that, between the Bhulogam, earthly planet, and the Swarlogam, there is what is known as the Ghorlogam. Ghorlogam means, it's also got another name, which is called Parjanyalogam. Parjanyalogam is that one. It is half bright and half dark. The earthly planet is completely dark. And the Swarlogam, the topmost planet, is fully bright. So you can see the fully bright and half dark, and the earthly planet, which is totally dark. So, what happens? Swarlogam, Ghorlogam, Bhulogam, one below the other. Out of these three, if you look, you will find one thing. This earthly planet cannot survive on its own, can it? No, it cannot. Because, look at the earthly planet. If the sun does not provide the sunlight, and the moon doesn't give the moonlight, what is this earthly planet worth for? Nothing. It is just a dead matter. Dead matter it is. You can't even live here in this earthly planet. So everything for the living entity to live in this world, it has to come from the top. You see? That is why those planets are important. The sunlight has to come from the sun. The moonlight has to come from the moon. The rain has to come from the top. And everything, the wind has to come from the top. Everything is coming from the top. The earth, the gross earthly planet, is useless. It's a dead matter. So the earthly planet's survival depends on those two which are on the top, especially the Ghorlogam and the Swarlogam. Now, one thing what you have to remember is that these three things, Swarlogam, Ghorlogam, and Bhulogam, which is the earthly planets, in addition to that, two more things. What are they? Male and female. Every species on the three planet you will look, you will find there, either it is in the male or in the female condition, female form. And what is the interesting thing about this? The male is always looking for the female, and the female is always looking for the male. This is the nature of this relationship, male and female. So, Pancha Agni means these three planets, Swarlogam, Ghorlogam and Bhulogam, and the male and the female. These five things together makes the five fires. It is called Pancha Agni. Agni means fire. Why is it called Pancha Agni? There is a reason for that. Reason is this, that when the soul has come here into this karma mandalam, or the face of karmam, the soul won't escape easily. What happens to the soul? Soul gets here the proper treatment all the time. You know, why is it called Agni? Because in Agni, you prepare something, isn't it? The food, if you want to eat, you have to cook in the fire. So the fire helps a particular thing to prepare it for consumption. Similarly, if you take, for example, iron. iron, if you want to work on iron, you have to put it in the fire and heat it. So again, fire does that job, make the iron suitable for us to put it into the proper shape. Similarly, the soul also, when it is within these five conditions, it is called five conditions or Pancha Agni, when it is within the condition of these five fires, it gets continuously treated by the five fires. That's what it does. So that is why the soul, when it is within these five fires, it is going up and down, and when these five fires are properly understood, according to the Vedic understanding, when one understands it properly, when one understands it properly and acts properly, that can become Karma Yoga. This is the conclusion of the Vedas. How that happens, we'll try to understand that first. So, I was saying before, there is a thing called Samashti and there is a thing called Veshti. Samashti is the combined thing, the large one, and Veshti is the miniature part of that, just like in the ocean's case. So similarly, these three planetary systems, the higher planets, the middle planet and the lower planets, or the Swarlokam, Bhurlokam and Bhuvilokam, they are the samashti of the creation. So if you look ourselves individually, if you look ourselves individually, if you look on ourselves individually, we are the Veshti form of the creation. The Samashti has got all the material elements. All those material elements are within us in a small proportion, isn't it? Just like a drop of water from the sea has got all the qualities of the sea water. Similarly, we also have everything in us when we were produced, like the material body, human body, has got everything in us, what is in the whole creation. What is in the creation is in us, and what is in us alone is in the whole creation, nothing else. It's the same material elements, but mixed in a different way, that's all. Earth, water, air, ether and fire. What else? What else? The other three things, namely, mind and intelligence, they are also present there. For example, therefore, the Swarlokam or the Dhyulokam, it is given another name also, Dhyulokam, is the Samashti form of the creation, and the Veshti form is the intelligence in us. So intelligence of Dhyulokam or Swarlokam in us, in the Veshti form is present, and in the Samashti form as Swarlokam. Similarly, the mind is present in us in the Veshti form, and in the Samashti form it is present as the Parjanya Logam or the Bhurlogam. Parjanya Logam or Bhurlogam is the Samashti form, and our mind is the Veshti form. Are you able to follow me, what I am saying this? That one something which is in a miniature form is present in us. Everything what is in us is in the creation also. We are a part of this whole creation. We are not independent from that. We are seeing the body and thinking that we are independent. Actually, we are not, because everything what is in us is in the creation. Only thing is into a small degree that is present in us. So similarly, the intelligence that is in us is nothing but the Veshti form of the Swarlokam. Similarly, the mind within us is the Veshti form of the Bhurlokam. And what else? Material body is the Veshti form of the Bhulokam, the earthly planet. You see? So one is the Samashti form, the other one is the Veshti form. In the Veshti form and Samashti form, both are important. Because in Samashti form, it has one role, and in the Veshti form, it has another role. When one understands the Samashti form and the Veshti form of these material elements and mind intelligence and the material body, and if one performs the sacrifices according to that understanding, then that sacrifices will become Karma Yoga. And that is what is discussed in the Karmakandam of the Vedas also. So throughout Karmakandam you will find this description of the Panchagni Vidya. Panchagni Vidya is the Karma Yoga. So what else is there? If the Swarlokam is the only topmost position, after that comes the Bhurlokam and then the Bhuvilokam. So in other words, this tree what is referred in the Bhagavad Gita is that tree, because Surlokam is the topmost point, and from Surlokam the idea comes down, it doesn't go up from here. Just like Buddhi or the intelligence is the Veshti form of the Surlokam, which is on the topmost point. So if you take our material body, where does things begin first? It starts from Buddhi, isn't it? It starts from the intelligence. From intelligence, it trickles through to the mind. So what is the function of intelligence? Intelligence starts analyzing from the memory. Memory comes and starts, feeds the intelligence for it to function. Intelligence functions from the memory, what has been fed into that. So whatever you had in your memory, it feeds intelligence, and intelligence starts the activities. And then intelligence gives further push into the mind, and when it comes to the mind, mind starts the scrutiny, this way and that way, this way and that way. It goes on in the mind. And then what happens? From the mind, it comes to the senses, and the body and the senses, and the action begins from there. So now you can see why that tree is mentioned like that. Urdhvamulam adhoshaka ashwattham prahuravyayam chandamsi yasya varnani yastvam vedasavedavil. This is the reason why it's mentioned. That urdhvamulam, that urdhvam, that means the topmost position, is the root of the tree. That means the intelligence is the root, which is on the top. From there, it comes down to the mind, which is the bhurlokam, or the bhurlokam, or the parjanilokam, as it is called. And from there, it comes to the earthly planet, which is the bhulokam. Now, bhulokam doesn't have a veshti form. Why? Because bhulokam is a dead matter. So where is the question of veshti? There is no need for that to think about. Only what has got the samashti form, like the bhurlokam and surlokam alone, has the veshti form, the intelligence and the mind. But once it comes to the to the earthly planet, which is the bhulokam, its veshti form is this gross body, but it has no chaitanyam, no living force in that. What drives the intelligence on the top? On the top, what is that driving there? In the samashti form, the surlokam is driven by the sun planet. In the veshti form, the intelligence is driven by the soul. That is how the shastra says about that. In the samashti form, in the samashti form, the surlokam is driven by the sun planet, and in the veshti form, it is intelligence is driven by the soul. Then again, if you come down, in the samashti form, the middle planet, which is the parjanya lokam or bhur lokam, is driven by the moon, and in the veshti form, the mind is driven by the false ego. So you will find in the shastras, when you study, that mind has a very close relationship with the moon. Intelligence has a close relationship with the sun as well. And when it comes to the third level, which is the earthly planet, you will find that there is no veshti form. Because why? Because both the earthly planet and the gross body doesn't require any, there is no life in that, isn't it? There's nothing, no principle to activate that. So you can see that this is that tree what is spoken about in the 15th chapter. And when one can analyze this tree properly, there is it's a very big topic, this Panchagni Vidya. And Panchagni Vidya is discussed in depth in the Karmakandam. Karmakandam is nothing but centered around this Panchagni Vidya. It is also called as Agnihotram. Agnihotram is another name given to that. So Agnihotram and Panchagni Vidya, together they are called the Karmakandam part. And when it is executed properly, then one will become qualified for Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam. When comes prepared, ready for Jnanam and Karma. That is the point, he comes to the Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam. He comes to that stage. So there are much more detailed, like elaborate explanations to that. For example, take the soul. The soul in the samashti form, what happens to the soul? In the veshti form, it stays in the jagrat, sopnam and sushupti, isn't it? Jagrat is the sula form, the gross body in the state. Sulam, sushmam, karanam, the three names given to that. Similarly, Jagrat, Sopnam and Sushupti, the vacant state, the dream state and the deep sleep. So in these three states, the soul is moving around. It cannot escape from there. It has to stay within these three. It has no choice. And when it executes pious activities in this world, it gets an opportunity to go up to the Swarlokam, enjoys the results of his pious activities. When the pious activities are finished, it comes back to this earthly planet through the Parjanya Logam. It's Parjanya Logam where it acquires the senses again to come back and continue its activities further in the earthly planet. So this phase of life, or this place where the living entity gets an opportunity to go through the cycle back and forth, back and forth. This is where he is moving from one body to another, one planet to another, in this way, backwards and forwards. This cycle is called, cycle of birth and death is what is called as samsara or material existence. So you can see karmakandam, material existence, the soul, they are all very closely linked. They do not get released easily from that. It is not easy to break this entanglement unless one understands Bhagavad Gita properly and follow that process. This is why Krishna has given us this knowledge to the world. That this is important. This is knowledge. This is the knowledge that helps a person to free oneself from this cycle of birth and death, understanding Bhagavad Gita. So normally people have this difficulty in understanding Krishna's instructions. They will always ask the question that why it is so difficult Bhagavad Gita to follow. Because the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has summarized the knowledge what is in the Upanishads. I mentioned this in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, that the knowledge what you find in the Bhagavad Gita is Upanishads knowledge. But what Krishna has done is that this Agnihotram and Panchagni Vidya, what is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, in the Upanishads and the Kamagandam sections, Krishna has made it the same principle Krishna has taken from Upanishads and the Vedas and brought to us in the Karma Yoga form in the earlier chapter. How does that happen? In the Panchagni Vidya, when you execute Panchagni Vidya properly, I will discuss Panchagni Vidya in the next class also because it's a big topic. When Panchagni Vidya is executed properly, what will happen is the necessary purification for the person comes. In other words, he will develop that right understanding. What is that right understanding? Karmam has to be executed without expectation of results. Number one. Number two, it will purify in such a way that he will be released from the bondage to such an extent that sometime by execution of Karma Yoga, he will become qualified to develop devotion in the heart, in Krishna consciousness. So this preparation for that is done through Karma Yoga. So in some instances, what can happen is that while practicing this Karma Yoga through Panchagni Vidya process, unless and until one is trained up in that way, it may not be possible to do that properly. It requires a lot of training from the early age itself to execute Panchagni Vidya. In the previous times, when the Vedic culture was strong in this world, there were many, many, many families who were trained in this tradition. And their only activity was executing this Panchagni Vidya or this Karmakanda mentioned the Vedas, but with the understanding of preparing themselves for understanding the Yanamargam and Karmamargam. And that is its own tradition. But due to changes in the world conditions, circumstances, those things have more or less gone. And that tradition is very limited now, very, very limited. People who are qualified to execute Panchagni Vidya and who performs that regularly is very few. But even then, but knowing very well, Krishna has taken the same principle from the Vedas and Upanishads and brought the Karma Yoga for us in the Bhagavad Gita. That is the beauty of this Karma Yoga chapter in the Bhagavad Gita. No one else has succeeded like the way Krishna has done in bringing the Karma Kandam to Bhagavad Gita, like the way Krishna has done with the Karma Yoga. So what is Karma Yoga then? The difference in Karma Yoga is, Krishna says there the problems are still there with the Karma Kandam, and unless it is executed as Karma Yoga, it's not going to work. But what Krishna has done here is that, Krishna says, Karmam has got one problem. What is that? Bhala Swarupam. It has got its results there. And this every karma will be followed by its result, isn't it? Without result, there is no karma. And any karma means it will be continuously, it will be followed by its result also. Krishna says, you keep me in between the karma and the result, and that will become karma yoga. That is what Krishna's karma yoga is in the Bhagavad Gita. So instead of going through all this Panchagni Vidya and Agnihotram and all that, Krishna says, if you make your activities in such a way that if it is offered to me, everything what you are doing, and the results are offered to me, then you will be freed from the reactions from that. So you can see what a heavy responsibility it is on us to if we want to execute the yoga systems in the Bhagavad Gita. From the very beginning in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, there is only three ways to come back to me. Krishna says, if you want to come back to me, if you want to stay here, Krishna says, don't worry. But if you want to come back to me, there are three processes in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that? Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti. There is no other process mentioned in the Bhagavatam. It is, Krishna explains much more in detail to Uddhava. He says like this, then he says there, Idrachaya Malkadasu Yadashadho Vinapuvan Nanurvino Nadisakto Bhakti Yogostu Siddhidaha. Then Krishna says to Uddhava, my dear Uddhava, that I have told you this, same thing I have spoken to Arjuna also. At different times, when Kapila Vasudeva came here, he also spoke the same thing. That Jnanam, Karmam and Bhakti are the three processes. And majority of the people have to take to these three processes. They have to take to these three processes. There is no other fourth process, Krishna says. Now, if one does not follow any of these three processes, then what will happen? That's the question, isn't it? And that is where, in the Vedas, these instructions have come as Vidhi and Nishedham. Vidhi and Nishedham means do's and don'ts. What you should do and what you should not do. This is called Vidhi Nishedham. This is why Krishna is saying this whole karmam and the science associated with karmam is such a complicated topic. At one point in the Ekadasi Skandham, Krishna says to Uddhava, please don't bother about it anymore. He says, I cannot discuss it much more than this, what I have already spoken to you. In the Bhagavatam, Krishna says like that, when it comes to this particular topic. Why? I will tell you why it is difficult. As much as you hear this, you will also see the problem in analyzing karmam. Karmam's nature is such that it will bind you, number one, and it will always have some defect with it. Keeping that aside, Shrutis are saying, or Vedas are saying, perform these karma, you are allowed. That means Brahmana is allowed a certain karma, Kshatriya is allowed certain thing, Vaishya is allowed certain thing, and Shudra is allowed certain things. Now, you take for example, a Brahmana by his instructions, or by the rules by which he is controlled, a Brahmana is not allowed to commit violence at any time, isn't it? He is not allowed to commit violence at any time. So, Brahmana, because of that, his non-violence, his quality, what he has got, under any circumstances, he will refrain from committing any violence, even to a very small, minute living entity. He is so careful about that. But Kshatriya is allowed to kill in his duty, also, certain reasons, Kshatriya is allowed to kill. So, on one side, we are saying, non-violence is important. We say to people, or you shouldn't give any pain to any other living entity. One of the four regulative principles is not to, what is that? Second one we say that, we say that you should not commit any, you should not give pain to any other living entities, isn't it? Meat eating is a very sinful activity. Meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication, gambling. The four vakyas for us to hold on to. So out of that, meat eating we consider sinful, isn't it? But meat eating seems sinful from the Brahmana Kshatriya point of view. For a Brahmana, it is completely sinful. But a Kshatriya, it is allowed under certain conditions, isn't it? It is allowed under certain conditions, it is allowed. Now then you may ask the question, why is it like that? That if you say that killing an animal is sinful, But Kshatriyas are allowed to kill. That doesn't make sense either, isn't it? On the one hand, you are saying you can kill the animal, you shouldn't kill the animal. So the Brahmana is saying like that. And with Kshatriya, you are saying you can kill the animal under certain conditions. So where did this come from? Where did this? Why this difference in that injunction? Why is it like that? Another example. A Brahmana says that you should never accumulate wealth, isn't it? He has been told that generally that is understanding. I don't know today, Brahmanas are the millionaires sometimes. But otherwise, Brahmanas are told don't accumulate wealth. If they are following the Brahminical culture, I'm saying, generally, Brahmanas were never wealthy. They were always poor. Because it is that renunciation and detachment to wealth that makes them qualified to stay in that Brahminical position. Otherwise, they are not Brahmanas. Otherwise, how can they give instructions to others when they themselves are chasing after wealth? So that doesn't make sense. But Brahmanas are not allowed to have wealth. Whereas the other side, Vaishya is told, you simply make money, nothing else, you don't do anything else except making money. So again, contradiction there. Another instance, a Brahmana is told, under no circumstances you go and accept service from anybody. That is a precondition to the Brahmana. Even when he is put into the greatest difficulty, Brahmana has to stay away from taking service from somebody. Why? Because that affects his independence to stay in the properly spiritual position. As soon as you take service from someone, then you have to surrender your principles also. On the other hand, a freedom has been given to Shudra that you can serve whole life as much as you like and earn and be satisfied with it. So the same principle changes from one group to another. What is allowed by one person is forbidden for somebody else. So, another problem. Like this, if you allow, look at everything. Take for example, chanting the holy name itself. Let's take that process. Because that's what most of us are involved with, isn't it? We say, if you chant the holy name even once, even in a total maya, still you will go back home or you will be liberated. This is one injunction. On the other injunction, what do we say? We say, while chanting the holy name, the 10 major offenses, what are they? One of them says there that if you do not, what does it say? That if you are not very attentive while chanting, it is considered to be one of the major offenses, isn't it? While committing serious offense in chanting the holy name. So on the one hand, there is injunction that if you chant the holy name with offense, if you are committing a serious offense, it says, that if you do not follow these 10 major instructions as far as the chanting of the holy name is concerned. On the other hand, in many places you will find, even at the time of death, if you chant once the holy name of Krishna, you are back in the spiritual world. So how do we bring these two things together? Isn't it? That's the question. That is why in the Shastram, there is what is known as Arthavadam. Arthavadam means that many instances the injunctions are to be followed. But if there are people who will not care for any injunction, who doesn't want anything to do with these rules and regulations, basically because they haven't got any faith in any of these things, even them, to bring them into the fold of Vedic tradition, sometimes things are spoken in a way like that. That if you chant, If that rule is applied, that if you chant once, if you are all back in the spiritual world, I'm sure all of us are back at the end of this life. There is no question about that, isn't it? We should all be in the spiritual world. I'm sure we have chanted million times more than the minimum requirement. Minimum requirement is only once we have to chant. But the minimum requirement we have finished long ago, 30 years ago we have finished. But still we are not got there. So that is known as Arthavadam. Arthavadam means to bring those people who have no faith in anything, to induce some faith in them, it is spoken like this. To tell them that, please chant the holy name. And we will tell them the story of Ajamila also, that he has chanted only once, Ajamila got back. And some people have taken shelter on that, saying that, Ajamila has chanted only once, so I will chant when I'm 88 once, and that's it for me. Till then I will enjoy my life, and after that what happens, we'll see. Because I'm following the scriptures completely. Shastra is saying like this. Once Ajamila chanted, I'll also chant once and go back. So this is called Arthavadam. Arthavadam means people who wants to make excuses not to do it. There are people who don't want to do it. They'll make so many excuses they'll find in the Shastram. They'll find something wrong here, something wrong there. And everywhere they find something, they can use it for their own advantage. They'll utilize it from the Shastram. They won't take the essence from the Vedas, what it talks about. So we will stop here today because it's a topic, you can go on talking. So we'll continue next Saturday on Glory to Srila Prabhupada.